This morning and turn to the book of Philippians chapter number 3. Look at a couple of verses in just a moment or two. Philippians chapter number 3. Let me just say thank you to everyone that came out yesterday to help undecorate the church after decorating it about a month or so ago. We had a wonderful time of fellowship, able to get it knocked out in just a little bit of time. Thank you for coming. I know that maybe perhaps you had other things you needed to do, but you saw fit to be here in the house of the Lord. And I do know this, that you can never outgive God, whether it's your time, your talents, or your treasures, amen. And God will repay back to you what you have given to Him to get our church back where it needs to be for the coming new year. Let me say again, thank you to everyone that came out to our New Year's Eve celebration here at the church, able to watch a good Christian a video, and it's a real blessing to see a lot of people here. And then some of you were able to come over to the pastor and Miss Diana's house for a time of fellowship, and we thoroughly enjoyed that. You say, well, I missed that. Well, hang on. This year, in about 11 months and a couple days, we'll have to do it all over again. Amen. And you can come be a part of it, the fellowship at the pastor's house. So, man, lots of food, good fellowship, and just a wonderful time. Thank you for your generosity and giving to each other and to the pastor and his wife during this Christmas season. It's been a real joy and blessing. But today, as we begin our first Sunday of the new year, I begin praying and asking the Lord, what would you have me to say to your people that are gathered here today? We're going to look at Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14 in just a moment or two. And I want us to think on this thought of putting the past behind us. Putting the past behind us. The ending of one year and the beginning of another year is often a time of reflection. It's a time of reassessment. It's also a time sometimes of reevaluation, as well as a time of recommitment. Sometimes we begin to refocus, we begin to renew, and we set sometimes some New Year's resolutions. And I'm not going to ask you what your New Year's resolutions are, amen? But you know what? Maybe it's a time that we should think about setting some. Every year, different groups conduct surveys asking people what their New Year's resolution might be. Frank Covey released the results of his New Year's annual resolution survey. And in his survey, he found that these top 10 resolutions would be this. Can you guess the very first one? Lose weight. That's actually number two. Amen. Number one is get out of debt or save more money. Number two is to lose weight. Number three is to develop a healthy habit, maybe exercise or healthy eating. Or how about this, as I'm a pastor, spiritually eating the Word of God day in and day out. Number four, how about this, get more organized. How many say glory, hallelujah, I need that one, number four. Number five, develop a new skill or a talent. Number six, spend more time with family and friends. Number seven was others, nonspecific. Number eight was work less, play more. That's a good one, amen. Number nine, break an unhealthy habit, such as smoking or alcohol, or maybe overeating, or maybe being addicted to the internet and Facebook and all those Instagrams. Maybe that's an unhealthy habit we need to get rid of. And then lastly, number 10, you'll never guess what this was, change jobs. Change jobs. Someone had said this, that our New Year's resolution is something that goes in one year and out the other, amen? And I think really in all of our lives, that basically probably has been the truth that all of us has happened to us. Now, I think the average, they said, that most people make New Year's resolutions, by the third week of January, they already have forgotten them. They already have stopped doing it, amen? I keep thinking of Danny, a former member at this church, and he's been saved for quite a while. He said, I never read my Bible all the way through. I mean, on purpose. He said, I read the whole Bible, but here and there and here and there. I never read all the way through till 2 years ago. We got him the little booklets that we have on the back table. By the way, if you need a Bible reading schedule, you could pick one up on as you leave out the back door. And if you pick one up, you might as well get the candy cane that's attached to it as well. But anyhow, Danny said, I've never read the Bible all the way through. And listen, he declared that he was going to read the Bible through, and he did it, amen. I remember seeing him at camp. He'd get up early. He was the counselor before the kids would get up, and he'd do his three or four reading chapters of the Bible. And when he was done the end of that year, he was like a proud peacock, amen. He said, listen, I made a vow to God, and I kept that vow. And I think this, that oftentimes if you and I would move from resolutions to vows to God, we might better be able to keep those vows as well. Well, how we get on that subject, I'm not sure. But as we enter into this new year, I want to give you some things and offer to you a resolution or a vow to enhance your spiritual journey in 2026. I'm going to be preaching on this idea of putting the past behind us. We're going to read Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14 in just a moment. But here we find that Paul speaks of both the past and he speaks about the future. And as for the past, he says these, he speaks of forgetting those things which are behind. You know, the past can really be a friend that inspires us all. Like remembering the day that you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm reminded of what Moses told the children of Israel in Exodus 13 and verse number 3. Get this now. He said, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place." I want you to understand this morning that we should never forget the day that God saved us. We should never, ever forget the day that God saved us. For me, it was Friday night, July the 13th, in Steeple Ashton, in Oxfordshire, England, the last night of a two-week revival at our church. That is the night that I got saved. What was it for you? What was it for you? I hear tell people say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know the day, the month, the hour. I don't know when I got saved. I just knew I got saved." And that may be true in their life, but understand this. When I got saved, I became a new creature in Jesus Christ. And I began to understand that, hey, this is a very important day in my life. Now listen, you might not remember the day, the month, the hour. You might not remember the time that you got saved like I did. But listen, there ought to be some place you can point yourself back to. Maybe it was vacation Bible school at Grandma's church. Maybe that soul winner at work took the gospel track and opened up the New Testament and shared with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. There ought to be some place that you can point back to that you would say, "Yes, this is the day I became born again. This is the day that I trusted in Jesus as my personal Savior." Understand this as well this morning. The past can be a terrible enemy as well. One commentator, in reference to Paul's statement here in Philippians 3 and verse 13, said this: "Churches are full of spiritual cripples, paralyzed by their grudges, bitterness, sins, and tragedies of their past." I think the clearest vision for you and I for 2026 belongs to those who are willing to say, like the Apostle Paul, "I'm going to put the past behind me. I'm going to forget the past." I wonder if there are some sitting even here today or listening by the way of live stream that would say, "Pastor, I'm in bondage." And you might even understand this, that your past has enslaved, your future has been enslaved by your past. And you need to be set free from your past. I think the words of Paul say it all. Forgetting those things which are behind, they're both important and they're encouraging. And I find it very interesting as we look at this passage that Paul doesn't specify exactly what things are to be forgotten. Now, Paul was a sinner just like you and I. As a matter of fact, he says about himself that he was the chiefest of sinners. I'm not so sure about that, but I like his understanding that he understood that he was a sinner. And I'm sure that the Apostle Paul could have named some sins from his past that we should forget. Oftentimes, some of those sins are similar to you and I. But Paul doesn't mention those things. I'm beginning to wonder why. And I think that Paul left it open to bring us into our own experience in this idea of putting the past behind us. Listen, Paul talks about these things. These things are going to vary from person to person. They'll be different from me. They'll be different from you. They'll be different from your neighbor. They'll be different from the person sitting next to you. And this morning, I want to share three things about our past that we should consider putting behind us. So let's stand this morning as we give respect to the reading of God's Word found in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Well, then turn to the Lord in prayer, asking Him to challenge our hearts in this matter of putting the past behind us. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 3, beginning in verse 13. Brethren, he's writing to the church here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we bow our heart and head before you this morning, Father, we are so thankful, Father, that we can enter into a new year. A new year, Father, in which to serve you. A new year in which to worship you. A new year in which we can love you even more than we did in the past year. But Father, I pray as we enter into this new year, Father, I want your people to understand this morning that there are some things that they need to put behind them. So Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll challenge your people that are gathered here this day. And Father, for the one that could be here and does not know Christ as their Savior, oh Father, may this be the day when the Holy Spirit of God illuminates their heart to their own sinfulness and the righteousness that's available in Christ Jesus if they'll just believe by faith in what he has done for them, paying their sin debt on the cross and dying there for their sin. Oh Father, may you save someone today. What a glorious day it would be, Father, if you would accomplish this in our hearts and lives. So Father, we love you this morning. We are so grateful and thankful for what you have done for us, bringing us through this past year and into this brand new year that's set before us. So Father, bless now as only you can do. Challenge hearts, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I think, first of all, if we're going to put the past behind us, first of all, we're going to need to do this, if you're taking notes, put our past sins behind us. Put our past sins behind us. You see, our past sins and our past failures can be a ball and chain to the present and also to the future. The devil just loves to throw our past up in our face and use it to depress us, use it to discourage us, and definitely uses it to defeat us. And I think the rattling of the skeletons that are in our closets too often exert their tormenting influence on our daily lives. And we allow the past to affect the present. We allow the past to affect the future. We need to understand this morning, number one, that there's past sins that haunt us. There's past sins that haunt us. This heard story told of a young Christian girl who had met a young man who repeatedly asked her out on a date. Now, he wasn't a Christian, so she really refused his offer to go on a date multiple times. But one more time, this young man thought that he would just try to ask her to attend a rock concert with him. And just as before, this young Christian lady said no. So in a mocking, exasperated tone, the young man asked her this: "What do you do for fun then? You don't dance, you don't drink, you don't go to rock concerts. So what do you do for fun?" So she replied back to the young man, "For fun, I get up in the morning without feeling embarrassed, ashamed, or guilty about what I did the night before." But I think for most people, their past sins really do begin to haunt them. For some, they're embarrassed about what has happened in their life. They're ashamed about what has happened in their past life. And they're haunted by feelings of guilt about something that they have did in the past. And their past sins and their past failures weigh heavily upon them day in and day out, constantly lingering in their thought. And maybe you're here this morning and that's you. Let me illustrate it to you. After the massacre of the Huguenots on St. Bartholomew's Day on August 24th, the year of our Lord, 1572, Charles IX of France, who ordered the murder of thousands of French Christians, never recovered from that frightful night. He said this to his physicians: "I don't know what ails me. My whole frame seems in a fever. I see nothing around me but hideous faces covered with blood." And at night, he would wake up to the screams of those who he massacred just a short while before. And over time, he was so affected by that that he became bedridden and disillusional and denounced his kingship. Listen, here's the truth. Just like King Charles IX, there are those who are haunted by their past sins. And there may be some here, even in this auditorium this morning, that have a hard time forgetting about how that they used to live and the things that they used to do. Understand this, that our sins do have a way of haunting us. But then notice, secondly, the past sins that hinder us. We spoke just not too long ago about the post-abortion syndrome. And it was a term used to describe the emotional and the physiological effects of abortion, including the feelings of guilt and depression that often occur 3 to 5 years after an abortion. One website dedicated to the post-abortion syndrome described the guilt that often follows as this: an inner voice of self-condemnation, replaying these words, "You are defective. How could you have done this? You're a desperately wicked person." Understand this morning that our enemy, the devil, is a master at throwing our past up into our face. He loves to replay our past offenses over and over again in our minds. As a matter of fact, in Revelation 12, in verse number 10, he's called the accuser of the brethren, who's accused them before God. Notice God day and night. For some, when it comes to serving the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells them this: "How can you serve God after what you did? You're a wicked, vile person. How can you even call yourself a Christian, let alone serve God? You're just another hypocrite inside that church." There could be people in the church this morning who feel that they can never be used by God because of what they have done in the past. And because of that, they hesitate to really get fully involved because they feel that they're unworthy to be used of God. And their past sins and their failures not only haunts them, but it also hinders them from enjoying the things of God in the presence and being all that God desires and wants you to be for Him. If you're haunted by your past, if you're here today and you're hindered by your past, let me share something that Adrian Rogers once said in a message. He said, "Failures need not be final, and failures need not be fatal." Listen, my friends, we ought to take that to heart. What a great man of God, a preacher and pastor of God's Word. He said, "Failures need not be final, and failures need not be fatal." Here's the truth. You may have failed God. You may have failed others in your past. You may have committed some terrible sin. And by the way, let me help you this morning. All sin is terrible, amen. You may have done something in your past that you look at today and say, "I am ashamed of what I have done. I hope nobody ever finds out what I have done." But if you confessed your sin to God, guess what? You've been forgiven, and God has cleansed you of your sin. For the Christian, in 1 John 1, in verse number 9, the Bible says this: "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Did you know what God said He would do with our sin? Have you studied in the Bible what God said if you confess your sin to Him, what He'd do with your sin? Well, the Bible tells us in Psalm 103, in verse number 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." Listen, God's Word is not just a bunch of words put together. It's inspired by God, written down for you and I. And this passage is not by accident. "As far as the east is from the west." Listen, if you're moving in an easterly direction, you'll always be traveling east. Therefore, there'll never be a point when all of a sudden you're going west. The same is true traveling in a western direction. If you're traveling in a western direction, there'll never be another point where you travel in an easterly direction. I think the point that the psalmist is making is that God has taken away our sins and will never face them ever, ever again. The Bible tells us in Micah chapter 7, verse number 19, "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Somebody say, glory to God. Thank God He's cast all my sins into the deepest part of the sea. Listen, as far as the east is from my west, never are the sins going to be brought up against me in judgment. Many of you are familiar with Corrie Ten Boom. She comments on this truth in one of the books that she has written. And she has these words to say to you and I today about forgiveness. She said, "It was the year 1947. I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God loves them and God forgives them. It was the truth that they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land. And I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that's where forgiven sins are thrown. When we confess our sins, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. Then God places a sign out there and says, 'No fishing allowed.' I can assure you this morning that sin that God forgives is all of our sin. It's all of our sin. And He'll never go fishing for our sin ever again." What I'm trying to tell you this morning is simply this, is that when it comes to the past sins, if they've been forgiven by God, let me help you put them behind you right now. There's no need to let your past haunt you. There's no need for you to let your past hinder you. God can bless you. God can use you. He desires to bless you. He desires for you to be used of Him. God wants to bless you and use you despite your past. Let me remind you, failure need not be final, and failure need not be fatal. Well, not only should we put our past sins behind us, notice secondly, that we should put our past sorrows behind us. It may be that someone is here today and they've been deeply, deeply hurt in the past. Over 30 years of ministry as a senior pastor, an associate pastor, and assistant to the pastor has shown me that life can be very cruel to us. As a matter of fact, it can be downright evil to you and I at times. And there are some people out there who can start a lie without even blinking an eye as they look at you face to face. And there's no limits where some people will go and what they will do. There are some things in life that happen to us that we can't control. But listen, if we're not careful, we can let the past hurt consume us in the present and also in the future. They'll eat at you like a cancer. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and verse 15, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." The thing that happened in the past can continue to grow in your life until you're consumed by what happened in the past. And when that happens, we either do a couple of things. Number one, we blame God and we say, "God, you're a sovereign God. Why'd you allow that to happen to me?" Or we blame the person that contributed to our demise. Or we blame the circumstances in which we found ourselves. Understand this morning that our past can hurt like the sting of a honeybee. I don't know if you know much about a honeybee or not, but thank the Lord, the honeybee can only sting you one time. Once they sting you, their stinger's gone. But it leaves the stinger in the skin of the victim. And when the bee flies away, that stinger with the venom is left in your arm, still pumping venom into your arm or wherever you got stung at. And what has happened in our past can sometimes has left a stinger in our hearts, filling it with venom. And so let me suggest two things to do when you're hurt and when you've been stung. Number one, cleanse your heart of past sorrows. You need to cleanse your heart of past sorrows. If there's any bitterness, if there's any hard feelings in our heart, we have to let them go. Just like you have to do with the stinger of a honeybee. When that honeybee leaves that stinger in you, you're not going to look at it and say, "I'm going to take this home and show my wife that I got stung by a honeybee." No, you're going to pluck it out immediately. That's what we need to do. Get alone with God and ask Him to help you remove any negative negative feelings that are deep down in your heart. Listen, I can tell you from my own personal experience, you can't remove them. You can't remove them. They'll just be coming up, and Satan will bring them up and up and up in your face all the time. The only way you can get rid of that hurt is by Jesus Christ removing it from you. To hold on to your feelings of anger and bitterness and hurt and fear is to allow the person or that circumstances to rob you of peace, joy, and contentment here in the presence. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote his young protege Timothy in his second epistle, chapter 1 and verse 7. He said this, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so by holding on to your hurt, you're allowing that situation to hurt you over and over and over again. Now here's the hard part. Here's the hard part. To cleanse your heart, you're going to have to forgive those who hurt you. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, in verse 31 and 32, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted," get this now, "forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So listen, even if you're not in the mindset to forgive them for what they've done to you, understand this, that we have to forgive them because God has forgiven us. And to be quite honest, most of the time, things that God has forgiven us for is far greater than something that you're holding on to bitter malice and anger in your heart that someone has did to you. Well, not only should we cleanse your heart of past sorrows, but notice we should clear your heart of past sorrows. We must not only cleanse our hearts from any negative feelings that we have, but once we do, we need to let the matter go. We need to clear it out of our heart. It's one thing to say we forgive, but yet still not clear it out of our heart. We need to lay our hurts, we need to lay our and the reasons for them at none other than the foot of the cross and leave them there, casting all our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. I think of that wonderful hymn by Charles Tindley, "Leave It There." That third stanza of that hymn goes like this. "When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." But then the refrain goes like this. "Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." See, that's what I'm talking about this morning. That's the point I'm trying to make, that leave your hurt, leave your burdens at the foot of the cross. Take your hurts to the Lord and leave them there. Don't let your past keep you in bondage to the present, to the future. Don't let other people's action rob you of God's blessing in your heart. So we can simply qualify by saying this. Clean and clear your heart. That's what I'm asking you to do this morning. Clean and clear your heart. Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 5. He says this, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Casting out the imaginations that are troubling you. That's what He is asking you to do. That's what God expects you to do. As a matter of fact, that word imagination suggests the ideas that are hostile to the Christian faith. Thoughts that are hostile to the Christian faith. Maybe bitterness, maybe wrath, maybe anger, maybe it's unforgiveness. Get rid of them. Clean and clear your heart of all them. Bring them to the Lord and leave them there. Put your past sorrows behind you. Well, not only should we put our past sins and sorrows behind us, but notice lastly, we should put our past successes behind us. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I'm surprised that you say that we should put our past successes behind us. When I refer to successes, I literally mean this. I mean the victories and accomplishments of the past year. We had some great accomplishments last year. We had some great victories last year. And I'm not referring to what the world calls success, but what was done and accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ. Real success can really only be defined by what we do for God the Father. Someone wrote this. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. You see, real success is doing what will last. And only what will last is what you and I do for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really want to be successful, guess what? You're going to have to live for Jesus. And just as we put our past sins and our past sorrows behind us, we need to put our past successes behind us as well. Notice, first of all, that we should celebrate what we have done. Give God praise for every victory in your life. Give God praise for every blessing in your life. Praise Him for all that was done to reach people for Jesus Christ, both here and around the world. Praise Him for the believers that God has sent to Sharon Baptist Church. Praise Him for all that was accomplished in 2025. Praise Him for not only the things we are able to do for Him, but also for the things that He did for us. Praise Him for each blessing that came down from the Father of lights, according to James 1 and verse 17. We ought to praise Him for the expression of His love, His grace, His mercy, and through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God as we served Him last year. And when we look back over the year 2025, we should celebrate all the victories, all the accomplishments, all the blessings that God gives us. I'm reminded of David in Psalm 150 in verse 6, where he says this, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Well, we ought to celebrate what has been done, but then notice, secondly, we ought to anticipate what can be done. While celebrating all the blessings of last year, we should also anticipate what can be done in this upcoming year. And so while it's good to look back and praise God for what He has done, it ought to inspire us as we anticipate what God is going to do in and through us during the coming year. When architect Frank Lloyd Wright was asked at the age of 83 which of his works he would select as his masterpiece, he replied this, "My next one." Listen, we should always enter into the new year with that expectation that this is going to be the greatest year that we'll ever have with the Lord. We're going to grow spiritually. We're going to grow numerically. We're going to read our Bible through. Souls are going to be born again into God's kingdom. We should pray that 2026 will be spiritually great inside of our church and inside of our family units, inside of ourselves personally. And each of us should ask God to make the coming year a time of great spiritual growth. Each of us ought to ask God to let us win someone to Jesus Christ this year. We ought to pray for a great year here at Sharon Baptist Church. I like missionary William Carey said this, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things from God." Sad is the day when we in our independent fundamental Baptist churches no longer hunger, no longer thirst to see more than we have ever seen before. And no longer do we go where we never have been before. No longer do we do what we never have done before. I'm reminded of the Lord in Matthew 5 and verse 6, where He tells us this, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Listen, as we move into 2026, let's move beyond the status quo. The enemy of every Christian, the enemy of every church is apathy and indifference. We need to celebrate all the past victories and blessings, but strive to see even more in this coming new year. Well, we ought to celebrate what has been done. Number two, anticipate what can be done. But notice thirdly, as we close, elevate what should be done. By elevating what should be done, we're putting the most important things at first in our lives and then making them top priority in everything we do. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. That ought to be our top priority in all that we do. Seek first the kingdom of God. Take the matter of winning people to Jesus seriously in 2026. Pray for God's power and God's presence and praying for revival that's coming up in the spring. Living Christ honors lives as Christians. The truth of the matter is, are you honoring Christ? We ought to have regular, consistent fellowship with Christ. We give you an opportunity to help you do that by having a Bible reading calendar available to you. I wonder if you'll be like Danny and you're going to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to read the Bible through in a year. And it's really not about reading the Bible through in a year. It's really just setting a time and a place where you can fellowship with God. These are just a few of the things that we could and should elevate in our lives. And with God's grace, may they remain in the forefront of our lives during this coming new year. As I close, are there some things in the past that you need to put behind you? If so, if you put those things behind you, it's a great way to start the new year off on the right track. Put those past sins behind you. Listen, don't let Satan keep throwing them up in your face. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. Put our past sorrows behind us. Put our past successes behind us as we look forward and anticipate what God is going to do here at Sharon Baptist Church in the year 2026. I'll close with our text. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What about you? What are you willing to put behind you today? I pray and trust that you'll put the past behind you. Father,